Good morning, Chairperson, Honorable Members, guests. We received one apology from Ms. Jan Guini. But there is not the answer to the We don't say apology.
National Treasury may not be able to tell us that. They'll tell us about who underspends, who overspends, and so on. But there's, for us, honorable members, is to deal with the implications of that. So that we see at the end of the day what are the implications of a budget not being met, overshooting or undershooting the budget. With those few words, can I allow the Director General to...
Thank you very much, Chair. Good morning, honourable members. The team is here this morning to, as the Chair said, to take you through 2019-20 quarter one spending outcomes and also look at some public entities. There's four of us, four colleagues from Public Finance Department, which essentially is the department in Treasury responsible for as indicated before to you, overseeing spending patterns for national departments, in particular national public entities. Mark Bletcher, extreme left, he's responsible for health and social development. Julia De Bruin, responsible for education, both basic and higher education. Dr. Mampo Modiso, she's the DDG responsible for public finance. And Gillian Wilson is responsible for central government departments, your treasury budget, presidency budget, COCTA, etc. DERCO included in the same department. So, Chair, we are here, as Chair, you correctly indicated, we will give you the updates as at the end of June. And you're correct, there will be variances here and there, but it does not necessarily mean that that might be the picture come year end. It's currently, that's what the departments are spending. There will be specific questions that we will be able to engage with based on the provincial departments and their spending, but mainly from a delivery point of view, the departments in particular should definitely be the ones responsible, including where needed and where possible, when we may not have answers, the Department of Performance Monitoring Evaluation would come in, because they also play a specific role, because they are responsible for outcomes and they've got outcome facilitators who are matching these colleagues in front of you to look at specific departments. But we will, to the best of our abilities, Chair, take you through the spending outcomes for the first quarter and, where possible, engage the department, I mean the committee, on questions that they may have that talks to performance of departments in particular. And thank you very much, Chair. So Mampo, Chair, will lead the delegation and she will take us through the presentation. Thank you.
Honourable members, the DG would slip out during the presentation. And DG, before you do that, we've been spending a lot of time with the team. Even last week we spent a lot of time, and I must say that we feel that we're in good hands. with the team. We've had very, very valuable engagements. And last week, as you know, it was more of an induction thing. And they managed to take us through a number of things that you do and the challenges that are there. And we promise that we'll engage further. So we don't feel less when you leave us. We're in very capable hands. Thank you. Dr. Mampo.
Thank you. Why,
why is she so happy? what is it that you should have said that you didn't say?
I wanted to say a chairperson was supposed to make sure that the DJ understands when I apply for my bonus. It's because of the comments from my committee. Good morning, honorable members. Good morning, chairperson. Today's issues are less than last week, so we can only keep here until 1 o'clock, but we will make sure we use up to 1 o'clock, as we always do. So basically, the first part of the presentation, chairperson, just looks at the spending outcomes for the first quarter. So what we tend to do is that we do a monthly analysis of the departments. So when the month starts, we do the reports to them, as we explained last week. And then when we come to the committee, we come to the committee with a consolidated first quarter report. So basically what we're reporting on today would be the cumulative amount of spending up to the first 3 months of the quarter. And then when we come for the second quarter, it would be a cumulative amount of the 6 months of the year. So we're looking at cumulative numbers. What we picked up, chairperson and honorable members, in the spending for this quarter or the performance of the spending is that for most departments, the underspending is driven by the late invoicing because of the Department of Public Works, especially for the buildings and the leases. But also there's been a number of issues in terms of the CETA, the State Information Technology Agency, and there is mainly the invoicing of the ICT hardware payments. But what we have also picked up is that there are other departments where there's quite poor planning in terms of procurement, or there's delays in that. There's also delays in the planning and the execution of the capital project. But for most of the departments, there are delays in hiring people, so they have a relatively, they take longer to fill vacant funded positions, so that was a contributor. But also there are other departments that showed this poor management of contracts, especially the ones that have no disputes, so they're taking longer to pay for this. But I will go through each department, give you the reasons for the underspending, and give you some interventions that we have done as the National Treasury in the first quarter to try and help the different departments to improve their spending patterns. Because this is the first 3 months of the year, while we monitor them closely, we don't think that for most of them it requires some intervention yet, but we will monitor those, and if the performance is not improving and it persists, then we will look at the interventions that we propose and see if we can improve on the interventions. So, honorable members, in summary, the underspending for the first quarter of the year amounted to 7 billion. Basically, the underspending was mainly in social development, where there was 1.1 billion, but that is explained in the next slide. You have COCTA, where the underspending is 658 million, trade and industry 641, and water and sanitation about 600, higher education 551, and agriculture and forestry 527. The ones that we're keeping a very close eye on would be the departments that overspend. And for this quarter, we have the human settlement and the defense and military veterans. But as I said, usually in the first quarter, some departments transfer more than they should. So we're not too worried about those yet, but we will make sure that we continue to follow up. And then when you look at the spending, not in terms of the departments, but in terms of economic classification, the largest underspending was on goods and services, where it was 3.2 billion lower than projected. Transfers and subsidies registered an underspending of 2.6 billion, while payment for capital assets spent only 1.4 billion. This for us is a bit of a worry, because government should be improving in the capital spending, and they only we only managed to spend much less than what we thought we were going to spend. The 1.4 billion is only 47.4% of what we thought we were going to spend. And if you look at the compensation of employees, the marginal overspending of 104 million basically came from the Defense Force. But I'll go through the different departments just now. So basically, the underspending in social grant was mainly because the June payments, which were supposed to be paid at the end of June, were only, or the system only authorized in July. Therefore, the numbers will be reflected in July. So that's why I said that we're really not too worried about the underspending there. But there's also another reason where the beneficiaries for the child support grants were much less than what we thought, and as a result, there were some savings there. But it's not because there's no access for the grant. It's just that the estimates that we did of the number of beneficiaries was a bit high. So because of the gap there, we saw some savings there. In terms of co-opters, there were a couple of reasons why there was an underspending, and the first one was the slow implementation of their annual procurement plan. Now, if there's delays in procurement, then it means they need to fix the system fast enough so that they can make sure they adhere to the payments. We also saw a lesser claims on the municipal system improvement grants, and that was as a result of some municipalities not adhering to the conditions in the Division of Revenue Bill, but also there was some slow spending on goods and services component of the Community Works Program. Now, in the red, so most of the red that is in the presentation is basically some of the interventions that as public finance or as the National Treasury, we try to help the departments with. So basically what we requested the departments is
so
to submit.
It's cold in here, yeah, and there's some very cold thing coming this side, wind coming this side. Can we deal with the aircon, please? People are going to get sick, and they won't come to the committee tomorrow.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yeah, me too, I was feeling cold. I thought it was me, but thank you. So basically what we asked the department to do was to submit a mitigation plan in order to improve the community works program. As I said, this is not much of a concern for now, but we will definitely monitor it. And we think once they finalize their procurement plans and the annual procurement plan, we're going to start seeing a pickup in the spending, and the underspending will become lesser as the quarters go. And then we have international relations and cooperation, where mainly the underspending was because of the non-payment of the unitary fee, basically for their head office building. But this is mainly because there's some misunderstanding between them and the landlord. As a result, there was some underspending. But on a quarterly basis, on the monthly basis, we do give them letters, and we continue to monitor their spending, and we will definitely monitor that in the coming years. But basically, once these are resolved, because it's still so early, once these are resolved, you'll see that spending starts picking up in the second quarter. The same as planning, monitoring, and evaluation, where the delays there, honorable members, was mainly because of the delays in processing the invoices, but also there were delays in filling the vacant positions that were funded. Now, if you look at the public enterprises, this is a relatively small department, and the underspending was mainly due to the delays in commencement of the planned projects, but also filling up of the positions. Now, statistics say the underspending was mainly because of the census, so the filling of positions of the census. But what we looked at and what we noticed is that if you exclude the census, then the department is overspending on their compensation budgets, and we worry about that. But we need to caution the department that they must align their spending according to what is allocated, not for the census, but for the base or for the core of the department. So the spending there was mainly because of the census. For correctional services, the department usually waits until later on in the year just to make sure they have enough funding for the vacant positions. So in the first quarter, the delays were due to that, but also invoices for accommodation charges and municipal services. But we did have bilaterals with the department, and the department was encouraged to improve its enlistment strategy. In the police, the vacant positions were a result of or resulted in the underspending, but also the Department of Public Services and Administration has not yet approved their new organizational structure, and therefore they can't really fill up the post that they have. In terms of justice and correctional services, the invoices were the main reason that they underspent for the quarter. Office of the Justice, of the Chief Justice and Judicial Administration, the underspending was 8.3%, and this was mainly driven by outstanding invoices, which will be resolved in the next quarter. But also, there were invoices that were submitted and were incorrect, and they were disputed by the department. Once all of these are resolved and finalized, the department will definitely process the payment. So we don't have issues with the department. We understand that some of the invoices that were disputed, they send them back and the suppliers agree that they have to change them. So once that is sorted out, then there's no stress with this department. In terms of agriculture, forestry and fisheries, the underspending there was 21.2%, and this is mainly because of the delayed transfers to the land bank, and this is mainly for the blended finance program. As a result, the reviews that are done for these projects are taking longer than what we thought, therefore the funds are not flowing in faster. We also have the outcome of the blended finance program review that is expected to provide some improvements on challenges currently faced, therefore improving spending going forward. So this review, basically the problem was that the people who were applying for the finances did not meet the requirements and were struggling to complete the forms and the documentation that they needed. So the department went for a review to see how can they simplify these forms, how can they make sure that the right people get the blended financing through the land bank. And from this review, we think that the simplification of the processes are going to help the land bank start dispersing funds faster than before. But you also have slow spending as a result of suppliers or outstanding invoices there. In terms of energy, the underspending was 7.1%, and this was on transfers to private enterprises for the non-grid electrification, and this is mainly due to the delays in finalizing the terms of reference and the procurement processes. But we did advise the department that they must align their approval for the contractual agreement of the service provider within the respective financial year. So we're discouraging them to take longer to finalize this, because what it means is this amount could have gone last year, but because they take forever, then it means it goes through the following year. But once they finalize the terms of reference, we think that the spending is going to filter through. If they don't finalize the terms of reference, it means we'll have to assist them in fast-tracking this process so that funds could follow through. In terms of labor, the underspending for labor was 8.7%, and this is mainly due to delays in invoicing by services providers, and this is mainly for the procurement of cars for the departmental fleet in the different provinces, and also delays in the issuing of invoices for office accommodation, and this is mainly the responsibility of the Department of Public Works. Now, these cars will be delivered in the next quarter, money. So that portion of the understanding will be dealt with, but the delays in the invoicing by the Department of Public Works may require some intervention, because this has been a constant reason for the departments to underspend. Some of the departments have also actually come to Treasury and ask if is it possible for them to manage their own buildings, because it's time consuming to have to go back and forth between Public Works and them. But because of the policy decision taken by the state, DPW continues to manage this, but it causes some of the delays for the department. And as I said earlier in my introduction, one of the reasons for the delays for most of the department is because of the invoicing by the Department of Public Works. Now, for science and technology, the underspending was 19.8%, and this is mainly due to a number of things, but mainly the slow spending in the research, development and support, as well as the socio-economic innovation partnership program. But also there's been some delays in the rollout of the innovation for inclusive development projects, and this is under the Technology Innovation Agency. And the department was basically advised by Public Finance to try and put measures in place to improve the disbursements of funds. And basically what we try to help the departments with is that they can't just take the amount that should be allocated for the year and divide it by 12, because if you do that, it means you'll always miss your target. So you need to look at your program and see when you expect to disperse the funds, when you think you're going to be done with the contractual applications for these funds, and then you put the funding there. Because when we come here, it's either you did a bad budgeting because you just divided the number by 12, but you didn't really think hard about how your department is going to disperse the funds. So what we did was we said to the department, look, we understand that there are delays, but by now you should know how long the process starts, and then you can make better estimates. So that's what we have helped the department with. And in small business development, this is also a small department, the underspending was 19.4%, and this was mainly because of slower submissions of claim, and these claims were not compliant with the guidelines and the requirements for the funds. So even these ones, so the departments that disperse the funding, most of the reasons or the major reasons why they don't disperse the funds is because it's very complicated. The forms and the processes is complex, so it takes even longer to approve one application. So what we ask departments to do is that you need to provide training and support for these small businesses so that they can access the funding easier, but also what is important, make the system less complicated so that you can increase your base so that you disperse the funds faster. Because there's no point, the funding is there, but the access to the funding is too complicated. So that's what we try and advise the departments to do. We have telecom and postal services where the outstanding invoices for the broadband project were the major reason for the underspending. And in transport, basically the revision of the capital transfer payment schedule to PRASA and the delays in some of their projects were resulted in some of the underspending. But because we worried about the spending of PRASA and we understand the implications of having PRASA that is not spending what is allocated, we had several meetings with the department to try and understand why is there a consistent underspending on such a program, and we also need to set up different meetings this month to try and find a solution between the National Treasury, the Department of Transport and PRASA, and come up with a project or a program that we're going to follow to try and make sure that we improve spending in terms of PRASA. So that is one department that we worried about, and we definitely meet with them on a regular basis. And then water and sanitation, the underspending was 18.6%, and this was because of the non-payment of invoices that needed to be certified. But once this is done, the spending will improve. And in trade and industry, the companies were not able to meet the compliance requirements for the funds to be dispersed. This is the same as the small business. And in terms of arts and culture, the spending was, or the underspending was 15.2%, and this is mainly due to transfers to different entities, and this is not a worry for now. We think that the department will disperse the funds sufficiently in the second quarter. In terms of rural development and land reform, the underspending was 11%, and this is basically the delays in finalizing recapitalization and development projects. But what we did was we will definitely engage with the institution in order to find a solution. So the slow program or progress on the recapitalization negatively affects the productivity of the land reform beneficiaries, and therefore we need to intervene as the National Treasury. We have had bilaterals with the department, but for now we're just trying to come up with a solution that we can implement, and then we monitor how successful this is. So that's one another department that we need to have frequent bilaterals with. In terms of sport and recreation, 6% was the underspending, and this was mainly due to delay or outstanding invoices, but also we do give them monthly report feedback, and we think that the spending will take place in the next quarter, so it was not a bit of a problem for us. These are the departments that have recorded overspending for the first quarter, so basically what they thought they were going to spend vis-a-vis what they actually spent. And the first one basically was the Department of Defense and Military Veterans, where the compensation of employee ceiling does not support the current personnel numbers, and as a result the department which recorded overspending. But as I said, when we looked at the full year and the appropriations bill, is that the Department of Defense is working on the rejuvenation strategy for how they're going to deal with the new and the old people in the department, and we're just waiting for that. Once we work together with the department and agree and finalize the strategy will be implemented, and then we hope that the overspending will subside. But for now, we're just waiting for this. In terms of economic development, there were accruals on legal services and accommodation costs, and this resulted in a 0.2% overspending. In terms of the environmental affairs, the overspending was 1.8%, but this was mainly because of the upfront payment of the transfers to the South African National Parks. But in the second quarter, this will be neutral, therefore we won't see any overspending. The office accommodation, that was inadequately catered for in terms of the Department of Mineral Resources, resulted in a 3.2%. But we think this will be, they will have to reprioritize some money to deal with the pressure throughout the year. They have money in the baselines, so we're not worried that we need to find the money for this, but we have told them that they need to make sure they budget for accommodation efficiently when the year starts. And then the Department of Women overspent by 2.2%, and this was mainly as a result of the payments for ministerial foreign travel claims that took place last year, so they took long to finalize these invoices, therefore they are appearing in the first quarter. And then lastly, Chairperson and Honorable Members, the department that showed the overspending was Human Settlement, where they recorded an overspending of 10.8%, and this is because they transferred to provinces and municipalities too early. So overall, if you look at the year's budget, there's nothing to worry about. It's just that they made the transfers earlier than what they thought they were going to do that. And we told them that they then need to revise the departmental or the payment schedule with the estimated schedule, which we refer to as the drawing schedule. So Chairperson and Honorable Members, basically the general issues that we picked up, as I said earlier, is that the departments are struggling with finalizing invoices with the Department of Public Works, and some of them are also struggling with finalizing their ICT hardware payments or invoices with CETA, which is the State Information Technology Agency. And some of them showed a bit of poor planning, execution for procurement and capital goods, and also there were delays in filling up the different positions. So, Chairperson, that is the summary of the first quarter spending for the different departments. Do you think we should take questions regarding this, or you prefer that we move immediately to the public entities?
I think to cut monotone, let's allow the honourable members to pose questions. Then after that, we'll allow you to deal with public entities. I think let's proceed. Honourable members, let's engage with the presentation. Okay, in numbers 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Can I then make a plea to honourable members that it's a question session, a clarification session. Do bring up pointed questions, but let's try to be economic with time so that we can have enough more time of engaging, especially to allow the National Treasury to give us more comprehensive answers. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for the presentation. I just would like to ask, under the Independent Police Investigative Directorate, with reference to your point about the new organizational structure, DPSA, I just would like to know, is there a time frame attached to that? What is the indication, how long will it still take for them to get that new organizational structure in place? Second point, with the overspending under the military veterans, I just would like to know if that ceiling that you refer to, if that means that it's even at the end of the financial year, going into this first term, if there's unfunded activities or unfunded budget activities relating to this department. Because I think if it is unfunded and they continue to overspend, then it's a serious problem there, Chairperson, that we need to address. I just want clarity on that. Thank you.
Thank you. I just have one question. With regards to a lot of across departments, late payments to suppliers are due to compliance. You know, people, presumably this is generally people not submitting their tax clearance certificates and so on. I'd just like to inquire why the state does not have a facility that allows a department to check with SARS the tax status of any of its suppliers or those sorts of things. Any of the regulatory compliance, because it would be far easier, and if there's any plans in place to sort that out in the future, it would resolve a lot of the delays and payments to suppliers. Thanks.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you very much for that presentation. My concern is that, you know, every year we seem to have this, and particularly we talk about the first quarter and then the second quarter, and then in the end you get this what we call fiscal dumping, and they want to now finish the budget, and then they tend to be able to just spend it in any other way that, you know, other than it they are supposed to have done that. Now, we talk about the invoices. On the one hand, we are promoting the good governance, calling for payments to be made within 30 days, and yet is all these departments, almost every one of them, have not been paying the invoices. And I can't agree that these service providers are where the problem lies. So the question I'm asking is, how are we addressing this issue? Because we've dealt with this with Treasury previously. In fact, if I remember, you were supposed to be giving us an update on those repeat offenders that were not paying. Remember, there was a commission that was set up that went and investigated this, and they found that indeed it was the department, for various reasons, through wanting bribes before we pay and whatever it was not really the service providers that were a problem. So I'd like you to tell us, what are you doing about that, plus giving us that report quarterly or whatever it is you were supposed to give us a report on those that were not complying, repeat offenders not paying these people on time. So I'd like that. I'm surprised, you know, when they say on the international relations here they haven't paid SADC, because I know that we are always in advance payment to SADC. We actually lend SADC money more often than not because they are always short of cash, so I'm actually concerned about that. Now, the other thing is that, I know it's not part of this, but if you could just give us an update also when you on the issue of the integrated financial management system and the monies that were spent, and what is the latest on that development? Have you managed to get your house in order in terms of that? And lastly, Chair, my understanding is this, that these departments are supposed to conduct their affairs effectively throughout the year. Now, if you're planning, because my understanding here, it looks like it is very poor planning. As a result of that, they cannot spend in the first quarter and things. So in the last quarters, normally you find that they don't spend. You expect it to go on to the next quarter and things like that. So I'm a little bit concerned. How is it that in the first quarter, or is it that we are at an almost standstill when it comes to the first quarter, because most of the money is not being spent? Is the work not being done? Have we not planned prior to that well in advance that this is an ongoing process? And I don't know how they are functioning if so many unfilled vacancies remain. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. Thank you for the presentation. Chair, I just need to go straight to questions. I see there are a number of instances where National Treasury is saying they've been making recommendations year on year without success. Now the question would be, how can we as a committee and parliament assist you to be able to get a response to the recommendations that you are making? Because it cannot be normal that we keep on making recommendations, they are ignored, we come back, we sit here, you give us the same story, we listen, in the next quarter we're going to say the same, hear the same thing. So I think it's important that we agree on a process. And I think maybe one of those could be either to have those departments appear before the committee to come and give an indication in terms of how are they responding to challenges, particularly their underspending departments, because it is worrying that you will have the Department of Public Works, which is supposed to be an enabler, but it appears as an obstacle for efficiency. And if you look, it cuts across various departments. And the second question would be, are all these problems that are manifesting due to the inefficiencies in the Department of Public Works core functions of the Public Works Department, or can they be moved elsewhere? I mean, I'm just thinking off the cuff, because you might find that departments would be able to expedite these functions if you put them in their departments and remove them from Public Works. So it's something that you need to ponder, and maybe if you can respond to that, I'd really appreciate it. But the other one, Chair, is on the small business development, the processes that you are making. I think generally we have a problem of outdated processes in government, and that's something that we need to look at. If the process is difficult for beneficiaries to apply for support from small development in 2019, clearly it means that even our objectives long term would not be met. I will give an example, Chair. I once observed the government administration threatened with an offender being released from prison. Within the Correctional Services Department, he moves from being behind bars, he goes to a parole department. When he gets to the parole department, they bring a file this big from the incarceration department, and the parole department have to capture that file as is afresh. In 2019, we still have tons and tons of paper that is moving in between departments. Why don't we have a system where everything that we do is modernized to a point that it can be done electronically? Few clicks, move, file, zip, transfer to another department. So there's a bigger discussion that we might have in terms of how are we modernizing our systems. And I think that will also speak to the issue of procurement. processes that are delayed due to invoicing and the last one, Chair, is on the issue that Honorable Moore is raising on late payments of invoices. You remember in the last meeting where we had the joint meeting of the appropriations and AG, the AG indicates that non-payment of invoices within 30 days is tantamount to misconduct. Because we are supposed to be in an era where it's almost legislated, it's a requirement by law that you should pay invoices within 30 days. So we are having a situation where some of the underspending is because of late payments of invoices. What are we doing as National Treasury to ensure that consequences are meted out to those that are always and continuously non-complying to this requirement? I'll pause there, Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you very much, Dr. Mampo and team for the presentation. I think the late payment issue has been covered by the two honorable members. And I think slide 15 also succinctly captures the challenges that you are faced with or we are faced with in relation to why we've got these particular challenges, especially the issue of poor planning. Poor planning in all respects, be it with HR matters, be it with project management and procurement issues. And it is worrying that even at this particular time, 25 years down, we still have this particular challenge of poor planning. I think as National Treasury, you must tighten your hand and be able to, in this bilaterals, put your foot down in relation to what can be done and what should be done and how we could, probably through the Minister of Finance and in engaging with the ministers of the various departments, be able to emphasize these particular issues, because you would know that they do have performance agreements with senior managers, and these things also borders on what is entailed in those performance management. I equally, like Honorable Matafa, get worried about Public Works, the Department of Public Works, seemingly being the biggest culprit in relation to issues of accommodation and invoicing. And I also believe that that is also one other department probably at a later stage that we could engage in, because, Jefferson, you would know that the non-payment of municipal services is also as a result of Public Works and also their counterparts at provincial level. So the issues that were raised at one stage, that there's a potential for ensuring that during the division of revenue these matters could be attended to, I think it's something that we need to look into. We need to look also into how much Public Works owes the different municipalities. That is for another day, but I'm raising it because I see this here. The other thing, Chairperson, is if I have to go to individual slides, trade and industry, land bank, as well as small business. It is painful, and I'm sitting here thinking about the letter that Mr. Kanyele wrote from Melmoth, wrote to us about lack of support. And if we sit here down to be told that clients or beneficiaries don't understand what to do to comply, then it means that the departments are not making it easy for the beneficiaries to actually qualify and benefit from these grants and from these support programs. And I would want to believe that the DTI, as well as, I remember, Chairperson, DTI used to call on people and say, "Uzoyithola kanjani uhleli khona," but because so I think it is some of the things that we really need to get these departments to to tighten up. But also, if you look at the area under transport there on slide 11, you say that they're delaying on their interim rail economic regulator, the development of the National Rail Safety Bill, and the branch line strategy. It means it's one branch that has got a serious problem. What is the challenges in this rail branch of the department? But the branch line strategy, Chairperson, I can tell you there is a town in the Northern Cape that if you can go there, you'd realize the benefit of this branch line development. The branch line between Douglas and Belmont was resuscitated. That revived the local economy of Douglas. People might take it light that, I mean, a small shopping complex, because of the business or the availability of money, because when the branch line was built, they employed about 900 people, and those people had money that they needed to spend, and it created a revival of that town. Today we can say that town is even celebrating the ability to have a Kentucky. To many people it means nothing, but to them it means something. But that Kentucky coming in there, it has created the necessary jobs. So I'm saying that if that branch line strategy can be finalized and be implemented, it will revive the small town's economy that has been spoken about for the last 11 to 15 years. So I think it is important that that matter be finally resolved. The issue of energy, Chairperson, I mean, how do you take so long to be able to have terms of reference for non-grid? Something that has been spoken about, that South Africa went to COP17 about. COP17 was December 2011, and today it's 2019, and we're still talking about procurement process for the appointment of service providers. It is that issue of the consultants and the whatever that needs to be appointed to allow us to do it. Our people are living in the dark. Shacks are burning down every day. Our people are unable to have a good quality life because of the lack of access to electrification. The Integrated National Electrification Program is just supposed to make it possible for us to have people having a decent life, instead of going out to carry wood and to be, I'm sorry, you know, some of these things can make you emotional, because officials are sitting in cushioned offices enjoying life whilst our people are struggling. Umama waseMhlaba uyalingana namhlanje, who cannot buy even a TV, a pension that government is giving her, because she doesn't have access to the means to put the TV on. Can we help our people to have a decent life?
Thank you, Chairperson. And let's welcome the presentation from the team. But I've got a worrying factor to say. Some of the understandings would be due to the appointment of people into their positions. Whilst we sit at and saying people, we need to get people working, it's a worrying factor anyway. And the part of the payment delays due to non-compliance of the service providers, Chairperson, it's also a worrying factor, because in the previous presentation, it was the other way around. It was perceived as if invoices are sitting with the department, and there was no payment from the department. Hence, we asked, what is it that is being done when the departments are not paying people within the given time? But now there is this thing of service providers not being compliant. And it is very worrying, because these people does not know how to be compliant. They need to be taken through. What is it that the departments are doing to make sure that the invoices, when they come to them, they are correct, and then they would be paid in time? And in terms of COPTA, also it is a worrying factor to say municipalities are not compliant, because for them to can spend, for them to can get the grant, they need to submit. They need to be compliant to can submit. But before they can submit, they need to be compliant. What is it that needs to be done so that they be compliant? Because for them getting this grant, it would make it easy for the people on the ground to benefit in terms of service delivery and everything. But when we sit here and speaking of the municipalities who are not compliant, it means then the people suffering are the people on the ground, not the municipalities themselves. The other factor is this slow spending of CWP. The cause of concern there, it is because the municipalities' IDPs are not aligned to the CWP business plans. Hence, they cannot. There is no convergence, so they would not spend. Because in terms of the municipalities vis-à-vis the CWP, you see the municipalities not wanting to be put to form part. Hence, they would just sign. Most of them, they would just sign the business plan for the sake of it being signed, but not having gone through it for it to be conversed with the so that the IDP can be addressed. That is why you find that the same procurement process of the particular the CWP, it would not speak to it would not be done as fast as one would expect, because one, there is no buy-in of the municipality in that program. In most municipalities, there is no buy-in. So you also find that they would as well, the implementers would as well do anything as and when, and they would just do it for the submission. When you can go to the north, they're far west, the north, there's one municipality where there are more than 25 JoJo tanks bought by the department. And that was approved. They are bought. There are six, more than 25 JoJo tanks, 5,000 liter JoJo tanks. I'm just mentioning a few. They are just sitting there. They have been there for more than 3 years. And that was the procurement that was approved. The municipality sat in that procurement team. That went through even to the Department of Cooperative Governance. It was approved. We are seated here. The other thing is the same implementing agent. They does not understand. Hence, previously we said, how do we assist? Maybe in terms for them to can understand. Because I think for us to become better people, we need to promote and absorb and enforce if there's a need. But in this instance, we find that in the particularly the CWP, because I know it of heart, you find that it is me implementing the project, the program, and by I come in on the 1st of April. By the 31st of August, the site business plan should have been signed together with the implementation plan, procurement plan, and training plan, and everything. Then everything happens so fast to the extent that everything is done because the poor people does not even know what the CWP is meant for. They just did it for the sake of business. But I think we need to consider that. What I want to emphasize more is that let the municipalities have that, not only in the CWP program, but in other programs that would enhance service delivery within the communities. Because by virtue of that, we shall overcome much. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Good morning, Honorable Members and everybody. Let me also join my colleagues in welcoming the presentation. And the Honorable Members have touched on many of the issues that I wanted to talk to. The issue of late payment, the issue of poor planning. So I am seated here thinking that do we really know that we are representing God in whatever we're doing? When you read the Bible, the angels in heaven, they don't rest. They keep on doing their work. They are praising God. So I'm asking myself, really, what is it that the treasury is doing in order to assist these vulnerable and the poor people on the ground? I only see the department be good in reporting to us about the underspending, overspending, but I really don't see the plan as to how really we are going to end up assisting these people. The elders used to say prevention is better than cure. But in our case, it's like we are not trying to prevent anything. Truly speaking, I don't see the department working. Let me touch on the Department of Social Development. The summary is saying the spending is amounting to 201.4 billion, and underspending is 7 billion. I normally try to remind the people that I'm from the rural area, and that's where poverty is really striking our people. With social development, they were supposed to maybe join these ones who overspent, because there are projects that deal with vulnerable and orphans, and they were supposed to at least give them something every month. But now, for like 15 years, other projects are not being funded, and the money is here, seated. I don't know where is this money, Treasury. We should take this money and go down and assist the people. I don't know if ever Treasury really do sometimes take their departments and go down on the ground and do an oversight visit and see what we are seeing in our constituency every day when we visit those people. I mean, we are trying to prevent crime or deal with crime, but if the vulnerable and the orphans will go to school on an empty stomach, come back to school, maybe they try to via the drop-in center, they find that there's nothing, there's no food, there's nothing to assist them. Do you think these learners will really concentrate when they go to school? They can't, but the money is there, seated. No, this is not good. It's not right. So I really want to know the strict measures that the department is having in order to end up assisting these people, assisting this department. If I was the leader of this government, I was going to say, let's just go out there and have our meeting in one of these projects wherever people are suffering and see how we can assist them. We are sitting here every day, listening to the presentation, trying to assist, trying to come up with something that can end up assisting the people, but really there's no change. Sestipuo, I start to hate this COVID. Really, there's nothing that is enjoyable in this committee. We always hear problems after problems every day since I started attending this committee this time. I never hear anything that will really assist. It's not assisting. And we always vote and debate and pass the budget to assist these people. But at the end of the day, what is it that we hear? Underspending. It's difficult, Chairperson. Thank you. No, it's very difficult. No, I won't run away. They must just tell us what is it that they are going to do. We need strict measures that will end up assisting these departments to work. It's like Treasury, when I see them, they see their friends, babies in the departments. No, you mustn't do this and this. That's not what we want. Thanks.
Honorable Joseph, do you want a second bite? I hope I won't be opening a can of worms. Okay, but let me give it.
Chairperson, thank you. I thank you for giving me another opportunity. I just want to, on the previous member say, yes, there's more stakeholders than the people that's here with us in Treasury. There's the municipalities, there's the national departments, there's people that get paid big money to do what must be done. And as the member would like the member also to focus the attention to the departments and to the municipalities and to whoever else out there doesn't help us to make it happen. So Treasury is doing their part. We understand their mandate. I just want clarity on that as to what the previous member said. Now, where do we focus to get that real change that we want? Thank you.
Okay, Honorable Chavez, I take it you are not starting to answer for Treasure. Let them answer for themselves. Okay, Honorable Imam Sheikh?
Yeah, I don't want to dwell on to that other than the fact that National Treasury needs to give us more information, because I don't believe certain things are within their mandate, but they should give us more information so we, as this oversight committee, can put pressure onto those departments, like naming the people, the repeat offenders and things, and that's what you promised to do. That's what we must get.
I
didn't want to talk to you, but just one little thing. I want to be specific with energy for the various reasons. Chair, when you interact with them, why do they delay in appointing service providers when you have got that particular department with that critical responsibility?
Thank you, honourable members. Can I add to our problems, Dr. Taylor? For me, obviously, the reasons for underspending are many and varied. But for me, the main thing: how do you verify which are the real reason and what is fiction in what you are being, because my hypothesis is there's a lot of fiction in the reasons that you are giving of how to verify that those are the real reasons. I think that's if you could deal with that one. And again, something that we have been talking about, and DG, in your absence, I think one of the things that we have said is that when you know that has been spoken, I don't know how many times, that the biggest problem that we're having in our departments is project management. We talked about all these things. We even spoke about the what type of lectures and what type of training we get in our school of governance and so on, because this is a critical skill. Everything, what we're talking about, budgeting, planning, making sure that you execute the project according to the budget and so on and so forth, all those things are part of proper project management. And then we proposed that, can we focus on that, right? Because there's nothing in life which is not project management. Even you yourself, to manage yourself, it's a project. You are project managing yourself. So everything revolves around that. We think that and it inculcates some form of discipline in all of us. Because we may find ourselves coming here, as it has been said, that there are a lot of repeat things. We keep on talking about the very same thing. There's no progress. You come back and you report again. For instance, we'll be going to the second quarter. We'll be finding the same reasons. So to say, let's identify what solutions. Now we know what the problems are. So we're really agitating for project management for most of your employees. Not at National Treasury, people who are, it's important for National Treasury, but again for people who are supposed to execute these programs and projects. you find a lot of budgets for employees, but people are not employed into those positions. But we are talking about a country which has got very high levels of unemployment. But it looks like people are very pedestrian in dealing with these things. There's budget for that. People should be employed. And it has been known, not first quarter, it was known even last quarter, even last financial year, that we need to fill these positions. And when they presented the budget to you, they knew that's what was going to happen. What's wrong about putting out an advert where if you don't get money, you say, well, what? But you get money, immediately you get money, you start interviewing people and you get people to work. That can't be rocket science. That can't be rocket science. But this thing of waiting for the budget to come before you start planning, before you know 6 months down the line, then you start dumping budget, fiscal budget dumping, and so on and so forth. I think it's just unacceptable. So what one is saying is that, again, proper planning. I think when they bring their budget proposals to you, I think they should come with a plan. What plan are you having, right? Before we even start giving you money. You don't get money, then you start thinking, hey, how am I going to use this money? I think that's one of the, but I'm just saying, I think it's what Honorable Komane was using, that we've got unemployment in this country, but we are supposed to be leading. We're very pedestrian in our approach. We do have money and so on and so forth. So it is a problem. Again, I think that also applies to police, right? When you're having the positions are funded, but police are not employed, and then we talk about very high crime rates in the country. Again, I think it's one of those things that with the portfolio committee on police, I think we need to get closer to, right? That you came to National Treasury, we appropriated money that you go and employ police, but you've got a first quarter comes and it goes, police are not there. Again, not acceptable. It doesn't talk to our seriousness in dealing with crime, but it also doesn't talk to our seriousness about dealing with high levels of unemployment. there's underspending on goods and services generally. And I think I can extrapolate there that service providers are not being paid. They're not being paid. Again, the implications are so huge when we don't do that. And most of those service providers are small service providers, by the way. I think one thing that we've argued before is that in government and in SOCs generally, the big suppliers are paid on time. You know why? Because if you don't pay them on time, they take you to court. The small man and the woman that doesn't have money to take you to court. So their monies are used for cash flow management purposes by governments and the SOCs. So I think it's incumbent upon us to protect the young, the small business out there, because they don't have money. Big suppliers, I can tell you, if they are being paid on time, they don't play. You don't pay them, they take you to court. As a small business, if you take him or her to court, they're afraid that they're not going to get a tender next time. So it's a vicious cycle. Then they don't have cash to pay their suppliers and so on and so forth. If there's an area that we really need to find better strategies of intervening, is to make sure that we protect the small service providers to government. I think that's very important. Let's look at that. DG, can next time when we come back, I know them to, at least let's find some progress. What exactly is happening there? Because these things, what you find, departments just ignore them, and they continue business as usual. And then they'll come and give you these things. That's why I was saying we need to look at these things. That is it real or fiction? Some of the reasons that we're giving, because there's so much fiction on the reasons for underspending.
Sorry, Chair.
Let me finish. Then you'll come in, Honourable. Otherwise, my thinking is going to be. Just note. I'll just note. You'll come in. When there's underspending, for instance, at agriculture, at DAF, there's underspending at agriculture, and that goes with what you call blended finance. Just to help honourable members, blended finance is a product which government came up with to try and help. The small emerging farmers, right? It's blended because in that there's a loan and there's also a grant. Because what became clear from the land bank is that some of the projects coming from the emerging farmers are very risky. So to try and de-risk those projects, government said, let's come with a portion which is going to be a loan. So to try and assist those farmers, then the product of blended finance was developed. But now, when that is not happening, and by the way, agriculture is very much time specific. You don't do certain things at a certain time. The season is gone. You can't now. You can't do certain things. Now, the fact that there is a review and so on, I think it's one of those areas, honourable colleagues, that we honourable members that we really need to get agriculture to come and talk to us about. By the way, it's one of the sectors which government and in particular the president has identified as a sector that is going to stimulate economic growth in this country. But if you don't spend there, how can you stimulate growth? It's just not, it's not possible. So it won't happen. So if you look at other areas that, or departments that we need to engage, I think we need to engage with them because it's a small farmer in there who's not being helped. Government has come up with money, here is money, but the departments that don't have plans, right? Come next year again, they'll be coming to National Treasury, they'll be wanting more money, but they can't spend money that they're having. So it is a problem. I was just saying that if it's around blended finance and it's not being spent, it means your established farmers are getting their money and so on, but the small farmers trying to start something is not being assisted by us. And there's very little that we can do. We've given money and so on, but our officials are just not moving. It's not acceptable. In line with perhaps what Honorable Mataf and Honorable Peters said about public works, the problem of public works again are perennial. There are no other departments are dependent on them to execute and to do what they are supposed to do. So I'm just saying that, well, there's this other problem that once we do things in a particular way, we don't just want to change. Perhaps there was a reason that everything was done through the Department of Public Works. Can we look at another model of dealing with this? Perhaps you may find that the portfolio that is dealing with the government departments and everything, both national and state, is just too much. Where you find that as a department, I can't continue doing my work because I'm dependent on another department. It is a problem. I'm not very sure, but I'm just saying these are the models that we need to revisit, and if there's a need to change. And from where we are seated, it has on many occasions a public works being cited that no, we're dependent on public works for us to do 1, 2, 3, right? So I think we should be bold and say and come up and with some proposals to change if needs be. And I think there is a need if you look at what is happening. Government that excludes the SOCs, we have underspent the total number. It's about 7 billion rand that we have underspent with. That's the amount of money which was supposed to be in the economy, circulating in the economy, DG. And one of the things that, if you look at the macro picture that we have been complaining about, is the lack of liquidity in the economy. But we've got 7 billion rand which is supposed to be out there and being spent so that we deal with the problems that we're facing. The stunted growth and the high levels of unemployment, but we have not been able to spend 7 billion rand. So it's, the implications on the macro level are huge. At the micro level, it makes perhaps a half a billion then so on, but when you look at what would have happened if we had been able to spend 7 billion rand, it's just huge. So we're then saying that we are raising, there's a red light that we're raising, and we are asking a National Treasury, we want to work with you, point us to certain things that we need our intervention in other portfolio committees so that we are able to help each other to make sure that these things happen. The impact on the macro level, macroeconomic performance of 7 billion rand, which is supposed to be in the market, and it's not there, it's just huge. So that's we should be able to look at that. I just thought, let me raise those things so that we just to complete the picture that honourable members have started. Honourable Kaiser?
Yeah. I didn't want to speak actually. I'm sorry for that intervention. But I quickly wanted to come to this point. You see, Treasury came to make presentation on people who don't have organizational structures, I remember. Now, I don't know how do we appropriate money to this department who do not present organizational structures.
continuously without any remedial and consequence management being applied. Why do we allow them to go on to appropriate money for with, and not presenting their organizational structure, for instance, to say these are the people that we need to employ? Because I've heard you saying the vacant positions have not been filled continuously, quarter after quarter. Even this quarter now, they continue as business as usual. So I think there has to be one thing that has to be applied, Honorable Chair, that to improve the situation in terms of consequence management, there has to be deadlines immediately. Deadlines with consequences. Not only deadlines, but deadlines with consequences. That people cannot come and make report that no, we have not filled vacant positions. Now the next quarter is still going to be usual as possible. So I don't want to talk about PRASA because PRASA has been moving around door to door asking how it can be assisted, but they cannot spend. I think it's one of the people that also must come in. So yeah, thank you very much. DG?
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, honourable members, for the questions. I think listening to the members, I mean, I think we are losing each other, and we may not find each other very soon unless if we get the fundamentals right. Just as a start, then allow me, Chair, just to say two things. One is that Mampo's bonus is gone because I expected it last week to have made sure that we find each other between the committee and ourselves as public finance and the role that we play. Because by listening to members now, it is very clear that, and I'm picking it up both from the old members and the new members, that we are losing and we've lost each other for a number of years in terms of our role and this conversation and our understanding. Maybe we are wrong and we can then be persuaded to change and to approach the way the committee wants information. One is that it's a quarterly report based on spending by department, and we are bringing to the committee and say, committee, this is what's happening in department ABC, and all members are correct. Some are saying maybe PRASA must come here, maybe some departments must come here to explain themselves on what we have assisted the committee in playing its oversight role. So that's one key component of our role this time of the year in this conversation that says departments A, B, C are not paying within 30 days, they are so-called. And PRASA is not spending, Treasury has not set up an infrastructure fund, etc. That's the information that will come from this team that Mampo is leading. After that, then it's the committee to engage and ask, note the comments that are coming from the Treasury, and call Treasury in, and call the National Treasury DG and his officials who are responsible and say, Treasury, based on public finances analysis on the first quarter, you have been given 5 billion rand over the 3 years to set up the infrastructure fund. 3 months have gone past. You as DG of Treasury, including the department, have not moved an inch in setting up the fund. Why? Because Mampo should have come to you and say, this is the department. So now, the committee, in terms of listening to the questions, the committee expects the team, maybe rightfully so, to take responsibility and answer on questions that essentially is my business and accounting officer of a department in government to answer for. There are responsibilities that are given to the executive authority of a department and the accounting officer of a department. If I'm not paying within 30 days, in law and in all our regulations, Treasury has got no power. Mampo, I as DG of the National Treasury, cannot go to the DG of Agriculture and say, you have not paid X person or X supplier. As a result, go to jail or you are fired or I'm taking through this matter. There's no way. My role as accounting officer of the Treasury and accounting officer of energy or water, whatever, we are the same insofar as our role is concerned. There's an executive authority. On a monthly basis, it's expected that the minister and the DG and the minister and the DM there in that department should be able to ask questions on the performance of the department to the accounting officer. The CFO of that particular should answer as to why they did not pay a supplier within 30 days. I do, as an accounting officer of the Treasury, I get a report on a monthly basis from my CFO and the finance team and saying, why is this person not paid? I'm giving a written warning as to, in future, then in that way the system is functioning. And then if I'm not doing that, the Minister of Finance must hold me accountable that you didn't pay suppliers, both big and small, within 30 days. What happened? Now, what we have then are doing right now, maybe rightfully so for the committee chair with your indulgence, is that the committee is saying, Treasury, why are departments not paying within 30 days? And then the Treasury where they sit, they can only, and by the way, we have very robust engagements in the bilateral that we engage with, where we fight departments to create, to finalize this report. And that's why we summarized in the way we did, because why don't you do this? Why don't you get rid of this property? And the departments become a very difficult conversation, because in that way, we are exercising our oversight role on the department in the management of its finances as a department. And what we do to you, Chair, is to say, here's the information, and I kind of in my opening remarks said, we do that in consultation or in cohorts, call it that, with the Department of Performance Monitoring and Evaluation. There are people who counter these six colleagues in public finance. There's each one of them, Dr. Tavo, for instance, in DPME, who is Julia's counterpart. They all look at education, nothing else. It is then expected that DPME and the facilities they have and the time they have go on the ground and see if really the toilets are being spent, are being built. So as a result, Chair, there's that disjuncture that we can connect. And so it's a bit of a difficulty sometimes when we... So I thought, let me put it like that, Chair. Maybe you can help me. I was going to answer the honourable member from EFF on the CWP, just in particular. CWP, I met the Minister of COCTA yesterday morning. We sat for 3 hours for breakfast from 7 to 10. We discussed this. The model of delivery does not work. The model of delivery, as it is, does not work in that we are giving money to NGOs. NGOs are interested in making profits. So she is really reworking this program, Chair, to make it more impactful, and her team is currently putting a proposal together to come to Mampo's team to really modify the project in order for it to have high impact and create more sustainable job opportunities and work. So that's one intervention that I thought I'd make, but then I was tempted to make other interventions. Thank you, Chair.
Briefly.
Chairperson, after listening to what the DG of National Treasury said, I got even more worried. And I remember in my statement I did make an indication that in their bilaterals, and if there's failure, they must then escalate it to Minister of Finance to take it up with his counterpart. But I think the DG says we need to have the patience to allow for these bureaucratic channels of conveying information and not be able. And I mean, Chairperson, some of the question was also opportunistic because he is here as the DG of National Treasury. So I think the way he says we as this committee must engage with things, and I'm getting worried that then the issues that are on slide 13, and then they were not supposed to raise them. Even their own red lines messaging in the presentations was not supposed to be there to say, we have been engaging, and this has not given us results and all those type of things. So I'm saying, DG, bear with us also, maybe you're reading too much or your expectations are too much, but we are public representatives. And the information that we will convey to them, we know that we will also convey to other role players at other platforms. But it is good for them to have that background when they engage in these bilaterals, even with the DPME process, because DPME also is supposed to be monitoring the impact. So if DG says we should allow for these bureaucratic processes, then it explains why it takes us 10 years to do certain things, just to get a service provider to determine the INEP off-grid solutions.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I got a little bit of a different view on this matter, Chair. Treasury has a responsibility. They are the custodians of the fund. When there's underspending or overspending, they get a report, they interrogate it, they get a response, and they're providing it to us. And that's where it sounds like, if I'm correct, that's where your responsibility stops. Now, my question is, this is the oversight committee. We have the responsibility of interrogating it right from the top to the bottom to the root causes of what is going on. And I think the question I was asking earlier on, how much more information can Treasury give this committee so that we could interrogate it? Because it's our responsibility to follow the money, follow the budget, like our comrade Shoppe Sitole used to say, follow the money, follow the budget. Now, how are we going to be able to do that? Should we, with the little information we're getting from Treasury, then call a relevant department to interrogate them, whether it goes from national to provincial to local, right to the ground, to find out who underspent, why did they underspend? Now, we were asking whether Treasury could give us, in their interrogation of the departments, more information, more meat, because everything you're getting today is what we've been getting for the last 10 years and 15 years, the same people doing the same thing, not spending. So that is what, because it's a futile exercise coming and sitting here. We're hearing these things. We can't do much. We don't have the information. You can't do much. It's not within your mandate. How can we change that, Chair, so that we can play a more meaningful role in dealing with the challenges we have so that people can start spending and there will be consequence management so it doesn't continue? That's what I would like to know, Chair.
Thanks, Chair. You know, I'm becoming happy by a minute. First thing first, Chairperson. You know, DG, this particular area of discussion that we have engaged in now is a clear indication that Dr. Mampo was perfect in schooling us on both the responsibility of Treasury and ourselves. That is the start. We wouldn't be as we are if we were not as properly schooled by your team as we are today. So forget about the bonuses and whatever you. it's good work done. Chair, on a rather serious note, this DG that you are raising is exactly what we raised last week. Unfortunately, today you are in. This presentation is born of the discussions that we had, where today we are actually having this detailed synopsis of what is happening within each department. Because what we were saying last week was, Treasury, you come to us, not all the 40 departments and units come to us to make a presentation with motivation for us to appropriate. It's yourself, Treasury. And now what we were asking was, do your dish, then turn your backs, regardless of whether the money is spent, not spent, correctly spent, or incorrectly spent. And now, we were actually taken to detail as to even the allocation of the various individuals per department. And you know how difficult it usually is when they are busy interacting. You know, we were shown the bureaucratic, you know, red tape up to wherever. But now what we said was, give us this detail. Detail to the extent of your weekly, that's what you say, that you have weekly interactions with these departments. You have monthly interactions up to your quarterly report as presented. What are these people saying? These are the questions that we're asking now. In your bilaterals with each department, what are they saying? We know that you don't have the muscle to push them through. But now give us that detail so that we are able to, after this particular meeting, prioritize. This is exactly what we are going to do. We are going to prioritize immediately now after this meeting so that we are able to say, Department so-and-so, come here. At the point in time, we would be having details. Everything would be in our fingertips. So that when we call them, making them account, we wouldn't be wishy-washy. That's exactly where we are. Allow us, DJ, to ask these difficult questions in this meeting. It's deliberate. So that if you say, we've tried our best with the Department of Public Works, there is literally no movement, and you are able to even illustrate, you know, the efforts that you have actually put in trying to persuade that particular department, that now is arming us. You are now beginning to flex our own muscles so that when we interact with that particular department, we are specific and spot on. That chair is basically what we are doing. It's not that they browsed over issues last, no. But we want to dig deeper. Thanks, Chair.
Honorable,
thank you very much, Chairperson. As a new member, I would really need clarity. To me, if a child commits crime, the pressure lies with the parents. So I really want to know who is responsible for this happening that have been done by the department for underspending and overspending. So if it's not the responsibility of Treasury, then it is like the Treasury must just do their presentation and then we leave, don't ask questions. So I'll need to be assisted.
Yeah, thank you, Chairperson. I think maybe I don't want to say maybe we're from different schools of thought, but seated here and listening to what the DG is saying, I think the Chairperson rightfully asked this question. And that question, maybe if we could have gone into that and entertained it, maybe we should maybe be able to draw the line. What is it that the Treasury says in the reports from the department or the submissions? These are genuine reasons, and these are, in the third language, excuses. Because there are so many excuses given on these things. And I think that we have, Treasury has got a responsibility. Notwithstanding that the DG of Treasury is the same counterpart as the DG of Transport and everything. But then the responsibilities is for Treasury to come to us and show and assist us in interrogating those things, in getting to the facts. To say, we are sitting here saying we've got a challenge here and there. And what is the Treasury assisting us in maybe going and doing the an oversight and interrogating that if the president does not have the muscle, unless if we say treasury is equally equal to transport, therefore instead of us seeking information from the treasury so that we can zoom into the department, we rather call the department directly. If that is how I did not get it, I'm very sorry, but this is what I have drawn to say. By virtue of the response, it says we rather maybe there rather be a presentation from the treasury, and we interrogate it ourselves so that we can go and do an oversight to the department. But I think the rules and the responses given by the treasury to us would then assist us in getting the solutions. Thank you, Chairperson.
Now that there is a second bite, even before you start asking, let me also have mine. There were accruals in the departments. Do we know how much of that has been spent from the previous year? That's one. Two. There was a task team composed of National Treasury and DPME to look at the payment of service providers, SMEs, within 30 days. How far have we gone with that? What are the results? Can we be finished with that? Is it true that about 7.1 billion rand, there's which came from business tech, which said about 7.1 billion rand is being owed to small businesses? Is that true? What's happening? What's happening about that? Perhaps let me address myself to the DG. National Treasury are the custodians of the finances of the country. National Treasury comes to us and say, let's appropriate this money to this department so that this department can do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's not all these departments which come to us. It's you, DG, who come here and say that. I don't see any function being only for that. It's fine as it goes to that direction. You can come to us here and ask us to appropriate money to different departments, and that's the end of the story. It can't be right. Perhaps you may be correct that perhaps it's not Mampo's responsibility to deal with all these other things which are associated with that. You may be correct. But when we sit here, for instance, there were issues as we were discussing last week which ended up being asset and liability division type of things as we're interacting. And then, rightly so, and Dr. Hong said, I think the right thing to do is to get that team here, AJ, to come and interact with us. Again, we're dealing with the question of following money, what is happening with the money that we have appropriated, and then some of the red lights which are coming within that ability of us to appropriate money. So she correctly pointed us. She said, let's get AJ to come and brief you. I can tell you up to an extent and so on. Now, if we just wanted National Treasury to come and give us statistics, we could have asked the clerk in the department to come and tell us and give us these figures and go. Yeah, we can't have you here, have the DDG, have the chief directors, and all what we're expected to do is to look at the numbers. In fact, in my preamble, I said, we're not accountants here. We don't look at the undershooting, overshooting on budget and reasons, and then we stand up. We interact with those numbers. Where you as a team, you are not able to provide us with some answers, please say so, that we don't have those answers. We're either going to look at them, or perhaps the department is better placed to do that. But again, when we've got the Director General of the Department of Finance, we've got the Deputy Director General, the Chief Directors coming from that department. Your responsibility doesn't end here. You are part of many other teams that are responsible for what we're talking about. about things which relate to procurement, for instance. Again, the Office of the Chief Procurement Office, it's in that department. So the questions that we are asking again, as you'll see that again, they revolve around what is happening around people being paid and so on and so forth. And if the DG is not able to deal with those things, I'm sure the DG can elevate those things, because we have raised these things that some of these things which emanated from this committee, Honorable Minister, it's 1, 2, 3, and want answers on those things, right? You must also see yourself as a conduit between the administration and ourselves, right? Provided answers that you can provide, those that you can't provide, you can't. We know very well, for instance, you'll hear us when you say that we need to make a follow-up on this. We know that we'll make the follow-ups that we're going to make. But having said that, again, you being part of many other teams and being the custodian of the finances of the Republic of South Africa, I think you are right to raise those issues which relate to money and to other issues from you and your team. So I'll then say DG again to repeat what the honourable members have said, right? Without overstressing the point, we may not be able to meet all the departments which have underspent, but you have got your fora that you interact, then you can also deal with that. Perhaps, again, it may also help us that we hit you hard here, so that when you interact with your teacher, you say, "Hey, guys, now I've been bang morile." So let me also take a shambok and find a way of mooring you, right? So I'm just saying that I think that's the spirit that we would like you to look at this. We're not going to force answers that the DG may not have, but what the DG must appreciate from us, these are the type of frustrations which you are committed. We don't deal with treasure by and large when you deal with questions of appropriations, that you also assist us. The committee said last week, talking to your team, that our approach is to see ourselves as being in one team. I think that's what you said. Am I correct? That we're part of the same team. So when we interact this way, it's a way of trying to strengthen the team that it's playing here. And again, as we are saying, that if that questions which can't be answered, and where, for instance, there's some way we want, for instance, there's one question that we have. Do you think that it's efficient the way that we deal with public works? It's an opinion, and it doesn't bind you in anything. Say, perhaps we may have to revisit that. But again, you being the person who deals with these things, you'll be better placed just to give us your opinion. If we don't have an opinion, again, it's acceptable. So I think that's the spirit we should approach the questions that are being being posed. Can I then allow Team Treasury to respond?
Thank you, Chair. I think Mampo can continue. I'm okay, because clearly the committee, I mean, I understand. We'll pick it up with the Chair. I'm still saying we are correct in that we are the custodians, and we have to do certain things and give responses. And it will be sad if we just present and go, no, we have to follow the money and help you also as a committee follow the money. But all I was saying, Chair, is that and that issue is I think accountability rests with the accounting office and the executive of the repair department. That those issues should be separate. We follow the money, we'll help you look for the money, and then we'll make sure of spending. But the authority, the accountability rests with the DGs, accounting officers, any department. And if there's gross mismanagement of public funds, we will tell you that X department is mismanaging the money. That accountability, the person must be called here, and the ministers, to account. But, you know, just as on specific issues, there was an issue about 30-day payment share that we'll have to come back to you on, because I know the CPO has been engaged with the Department of Performance Monitoring and Evaluation. I don't have the actual details, but we can forward the details once we have it to the Secretariat. There was another issue about, I think IFMS was mentioned. On the IFMS, you know, other committee members who may be aware of the issue in the way it is that we had a forensic investigation. There were specific recommendations made. The last time we were in Parliament, we said we had to get the service of a lawyer to formulate charge sheets. Those charge sheets have been formulated. I got them last week. So what's left now is for me to put my signature to a letter that says, charge so-and-so, come to the disciplinary committee on this date, etc. Because we've now clearly identified where exactly in our case, we think our case is stronger in terms of those individuals who have seemed to have misappropriated or mismanaged or not followed certain processes as per the prescripts. So that process is ongoing, and I'm happy that we are almost coming to finality now. All that's left is for the processes to be finalized and disciplinary processes to be the dates, etc., to be engaged with. But all that is now set, and I got a report fully from the lawyer that we've asked to relook at charge sheets, so that we are ready with that. Thank you.
Chair, I think I'm just going to try and summarize the broad issues that the committee members have issues with. So in terms of the report or the information, last week when we presented the induction, we actually asked the committee, these are the reports as they are now. Would the committee want us to add more information, reduce the information, package the information differently? And if you, as the committee, feel the information is not sufficient as presented now, please do let us know how you want us to add, because what we presented, as I said last week, is that this is how we presented in the info in the fifth administration, and it worked. If it's not working in this committee, please do let us know. We have made it very clear to the researchers that the raw information is available. We even send the links, we send all the detailed information to the researchers and the Parliamentary Budget Office so that they can do the assessment of the department. So we are working with the committee researchers and the Parliamentary Budget Office. We also had to clarify that before DPME was an established department, Treasury had a role to look at the impact, so the outcomes of the spending. Now our role is limited to looking at where the money goes. Then the Department of Public, DPME, is supposed to go and check if the toilet exists. Now, I understand the committee's frustration where Treasury just comes and presents the numbers, and what you have to worry about at the end of the day would be, is there a toilet and is it functioning? But how do you as a department take another department's mandate, because the department is there for that purpose? That's why last week when we were presenting in the induction, we had two slides of the functions of the DPME, and we proposed that the committee calls both the National Treasury and the Department of Performance Monitoring and Evaluation on the same day so that we present to the committee the numbers and they present the service delivery, because at the end, that is the responsibility that they have to do. So, Chairperson, I would like again to request that when you give us the letter that we must come and present the quarter outcome, the same letter goes to the Department of DPME, so that when we come here, we have a presentation of the numbers and the presentation of the service delivery, because they need to help us. So I think that will definitely help and reduce the unease of the committee, because what you see from us is, okay, there are the numbers, but what do we do with the numbers? So I think that will help. That is my plea, Chairperson. And
Dr. Ma'am, agreed. But just one correction, there is no unease from us. There is just no unease. As I said to the DG, there are questions that we have asked, and as I say, if you can answer them, answer them. Those that you can't answer, it's well and good, no problem. DPME, we know we must call, and this is also going to help us, the numbers that you have given us.
Okay. I said unease because I'm looking at the committee members and I can see the ballot pressure is rising. So the other issue, Chairperson, that I just want to clarify is the accrual, right? So the Accountant General at the National Treasury is finalizing the financial statements for 2018-19. So when we come back for the second quarter, we're going to present on the actual accruals of the department. So there are departments that have very large accruals, and one of them was the Department of Water and Sanitation, and they have been trying to reduce the accruals. So they reprioritize some of their funding to reduce the accruals. But when we get the numbers, we will be able to show the committee of the 5 years how much accruals have been there and have they managed to reduce them, and if they haven't managed to reduce them, what are their strategies to try and reduce the accruals. So once we have the data, we'll give the committee a good five-year picture of how the accruals have been looking like for those problematic departments. But for a department like women, their accruals emanated from the fact that they got the invoices late from DECO, so they already paid the accruals in the first quarter. So if they're small, then it's not a big deal. But the other colleagues can help me when they respond if they have departments that have large accruals and how the departments have been dealing with those. So, Chairperson and honorable members, when we present in this presentation, we only focus on the departments that we think need intervention. So the Department of Communications, the Department of Economic Development, Tourism and Sports and Recreation, they're not on the list because in terms of their spending, we haven't picked up anything that we think the committee must look at. Now, it's very difficult for me, ma'am, to come and say, you know what, Department X is very useless, it doesn't work, and they should shut down. I mean, I can't do that. I have to be as professional as I can. So the info that I'm presenting here, I'm hopeful that the researcher will pick it up and then realize, okay, these are the issues Treasury are presenting. Which departments do we think as researchers the committee should start intervening. So I would group the department as follows, Chairperson. So I will group the departments that they inhibit the other departments to do their mandate. So the one department that one can classify in there would be the Department of Public Works. Because they don't finalize the invoices on time, they inhibit the other departments to do their work and pay, and therefore the finances look a bit odd. So there were other proposals when we were having bilaterals with the departments who said we would actually prefer to own and manage our own properties. But because we have a policy that says all government properties should be managed by Public Works, the only thing we can do is to propose that, and Public Works will have to make a decision on whether they allow the departments to manage their own buildings or not. But as I said, I mean, if the department is there to do that, right? So I think that is one department one can look at. Then there's a group of departments where their mandate is to give transfers to enhance economic growth. And those departments that we picked up some issues will be small business, the DTI, and rural development, where the policies and the regulations that they have make it a little bit difficult to provide the finances to small business, to the black farmers fast enough because they're tedious. We have spoken to the departments. At least the DTI has reworked on its regulations and they are trying to simplify them. But we always said to them, whatever regulation you have as the department, you need to make sure that you train your potential beneficiaries so that they understand what is being happening. So if you get the same response every year that says we are trying to simplify but people are not adhering to the conditions and you have tried to intervene and you've given them proposals, then the one easier way to deal with them is to ask them to come and account. Or, and given that you're doing the training, given that Treasury asked you to change the regulations and simplify them, how come you're not dispersing the funds as fast as you should be? So that's the second group of departments that we think the committee should look at. The third group of departments are the departments that are overspending on their compensation budgets, and that would be Statistics South Africa and the Defence Force. The Defence Force, as I said, is working on the strategy to deal with this, but we worry because last year there was an overspending of 2.9 billion. If there's no change in the structure of the Defence Force, it means the overspending will be continuous. So they must come. We even had ministerial meetings to try and resolve the problem. So the problem persists, and we think that the committee can help us there. And then you have a department such as transport where the problems are with the entities. And the entities I'm referring to, CASA, and I'm referring to Sanral. I mean, there's public enterprises that has problems with its entities. So those two departments need to figure out, or they need to come and explain what are they doing, what are the interventions that they have to try and turn around the entities that they have. I mean, we can try and help them. I mean, the reason why we having a special appropriation chairperson is because we wanted Parliament to also have a say on whether money is being transferred to these entities, and it shouldn't be a Treasury decision only, which is helping because it means the public now gets to know what is happening in these entities. So the Department of Public Enterprises and the Department of Transport, I would suggest that those would be the department that the committee calls to try and account for, well, the lack of spending in some, which is PRASA, but also the funding requests that are continuous, and these entities are supposed to be self-sustaining. So, Chair, I'm going to ask the team to just go through the specific questions, if that's okay.
So I'm also representing my colleague of Protection Services today. So normally I deal with the education ones. So the IFID question around the approval of their structure is just timing. They submitted it for the previous minister in the previous administration, so the new minister will get to it, and my colleague assumes that it should take place fairly shortly. And then just to say, Honourable Member, what it means is if you've got the structure in one particular way, you continue to pay those people. If you want a new structure, DPSA has to approve that. But it doesn't mean that you don't then still continue with what you have. Once your new structure gets approved, then you must work out a way of how you take the people from the old structure into your new structure. So that sometimes there's a timing gap between the old one and the new one, and this is a particular thing. I think the committee asked us the last time, what are the slippages that happens between new administrations, and this is one of those things. And at the same time, we're also doing the national macro reorganization of the state, so there's also a bit of hampering there. Then I think Mambo replied to the defense one. That's the reason there. And it does mean that if they overspend on COE, they have to take the money from somewhere else. So that will impact either on their capital or on projects that they need to do, on the tools of trade that they have. And then, Chair, maybe just to say, it's a very difficult position to find yourself in when you ask a department, can you please explain why you haven't done this? And they say to you, the reason we haven't done this is X. My instinct, because I suppose I will continue working with them for every week, is to believe them until I realize that they've lied to me. So, but that's the basis from which, because if I don't work from believing what they tell me, it makes for a very difficult relationship. So my assumption is that they do tell the truth. When we are meant to see them, and where it will become more apparent, is when we have those performance dialogues with the DPME and the department, because then you see the performance information alongside the budget information, and you're able to triangulate. Those haven't been happening at the speed at which they do. And then just to talk about vacancies, because I think that the committee is rightly concerned that the vacant positions take so long to fill. There are two kinds of vacancies that I have discovered in my departments. There are those where when you put out an advert, you get 30,000 applications. Now, the rules of the public service are very strict. You have to have a way in which each applicant knows that the application has been received. Then you have to scrutinize all the applications to see that they meet the requirements. Then you have to have your panel, and the panel must be have a particular representativity, etc. So all of those, even myself, Chair, and I consider myself to be a very efficient person, it took me 3 months to employ a level 11, even though I chased. So if you don't have somebody that's chasing, so that's on the one end. On the other end, when you're trying to employ DDGs, then you are taking a higher level of scrutiny on the actual candidate. So it's not that you're going to get 30,000 applicants, but you want to ensure that the person, it's a very responsible position. So that's just, I'm just saying on a general level. So if you get one of my departments in here, which we have asked the committee to call on many occasions, and the committee did not call them, is the Department of Labor. The Department of Labor has vacant posts in the labor inspection side of the department. So not administrators. These are people that are meant to go and check occupational health and safety at workplaces, employment equity at workplaces. They have a problem. Every time they employ a set of these labor inspectors, they realize that the level at which they are employing them is not the same as jobs that they can get elsewhere. So as soon as the people come in, they get some experience and they leave. So it's like they employ 10, 5 leave. Then they try employ another 5, 2 leave. So I can understand, Chair, if you can find somebody where in actual fact there's just been a dereliction of duty, they haven't bothered to put out the advert. So it's, I know you want us to be more mean than we are, but when you meet the departments, Chair, they will tell you how mean we are. And truthfully, they will tell you how mean we are. And we are not, we are universally disliked. There is not a department that will come here and tell you that they are willing to see us. So it's trying to be, and I'm just being honest with the committee, it is you want to be able to persuade people to do the right thing all the time. And sometimes you can use the harsh tactic, and that can help, but sometimes that only helps you once. And then they really lie to you afterwards. And then you spend your time writing letters. We write lots of letters. Because the DG always says we must first start with a polite letter. You can't start over there. You move towards over there. So I understand what you're saying, Chair, and I will take your quote and I will use it. The one that you said, if you're going to eat us, then we must eat them. That one. And then I think, no, I don't have any, there's no specific, other ones for me.
Honourable Members, Chairperson, I will respond to the Central Government Departments and also the Urban Infrastructure Departments. With regard to DIRCO, there was a delay in payment to SADC. So the department do receive a new scale of assessment at the beginning of every financial year. So that scale of assessment was received late from SADC. That's why the payment could not be processed. But I think it's important that we do pay our membership fees to our organizations on time. But because of the late receipt of the scale-up assessment, they could not make process the payments on time. I think with Public Works, I really think that we should get Public Works to do the basic things right. Because I think that to develop a new model, I'm not sure if that's going to bring any change. And what we advocated for is that there should be a service delivery agreement between Public Works and departments. Public Works need to issue the invoices on time. If there's dispute between the departments and Public Works, they need to resolve the disputes within a certain period of time. So Public Works is a bit hesitant to actually develop those service levels agreement because there's capacity constraints within Public Works. But I think the best thing is that there should be service delivery standards that they need to comply with. Because what Public Works does has an impact on the expenditure of your different departments. With regard to transport, there is delays in terms of the rail program. There's delays in terms of the rolling stock program. There's also delays in terms of the infrastructure program. And we believe that now Transport have implemented a turnaround project to address the delays. And we can just give the committee more information with our next meeting in terms of the turnaround program to address the delays. With regard to energy, there's a problem in terms of the solar geyser programs in energy. The relays relate to the appointment of your contractors. There's procurement issues. Procurement's taking very long. There's also delays in terms of the department providing, the contractors providing certification of work done and also invoices. So I think there's two parts of the problem. From the department side and also from the contractor side, and that is causing the delay in the expenditure for the first quarter. Thank you.
Chairperson, just three very short points from my side. The first one is, given the importance of economic growth, trying to get economic growth going in the country, I think picking up on a point Bumpo made, the department may find it useful to call two or three of the economic sector departments that are slow spenders in the first quarter. So, for example, we talked about small business. So, for example, in small business, they have a relatively new department. For example, they've got a fund called the Small Business Innovation Fund, which has got R1 billion budget, which has spent nothing by the first quarter, for example. So, them, DTI, Chair, you mentioned agriculture and its relationships with the land bank and the importance of this for the small farmers. So you might have an interesting meeting calling a cluster of three or four economic departments where they're slow, having difficulty getting their programs going, and trying to talk to them about how they resolve some of those things. Secondly, Chairperson, just on accruals. So the biggest accruals are in the provincial sphere, not in the national sphere, but we've had an interesting experience with the health sector on accruals. So we've worked with the health sector to draft a thing called the Provincial Health Action Plan with all the provinces and national. And we've had a couple of meetings with them, and at the meetings, some of the good practices, some departments that have done well on trying to clear their accruals, working also with their treasuries, have given quite a lot of detailed examples of how they try to work through their accruals, identify them, find the problems, and share experiences. And some quite interesting things are coming out of the out of that project. And the accruals actually did decline in the health sector this last year. Just the last point, just on social development, and I hear the Honourable Member is really angry about some of the social development projects. And I really would actually encourage her with the committee then, you know, to take that up with the Social Development Portfolio Committee and the social development sector and really take it up there so that you don't feel that issue is just not addressed. But just to say that on the understanding on social development, which is around, it's just over $1 billion in the first quarter. So, so firstly, to note that about half of that is just a technical transfer to SASSA to do its business. Now, what you'll hear in the presentation that Nampo is going to make just after this on the public entities is that SASSA, because of the shift in the contract to SAPA, has in fact massively underspent last year just because they haven't yet paid SAPA for a lot of their payments. So SAPA actually ended the year with about SASSA actually ended the year with about $1.9 billion on their balance sheet, because between paying SAPA and paying CPS, there's a lot unspent. So this technical slow payment to SASSA, it just was a technical thing really. It's not will be sorted out by the second quarter. We're actually even wondering whether with the new contracts with SAPA and whatever going forward into the next budget, whether we can actually cut SASSA's budget slightly more. We cut its budget by $500 million a year in this current year. But we're actually wondering with the savings we have to make, whether it's possible even to cut their budget a bit more going into next year. Then to say that most of the services that are clearly really worrying the animal member are welfare services, which are in the provincial domain mainly. So there's about $20 billion spending on welfare services, and they're mainly in the provincial domain. And we have got several projects going on with social development about welfare services. Welfare services are very underfunded. I mean, all the costing models we've done, also linked to the Nawongwa judgment, does suggest that welfare services is a very underfunded area. But I think the member is pointing out issues where she's unhappy about where money has been spent on particular projects. But as I said, that would be mainly in the provincial sphere, because welfare services are run through the provincial sphere. And I suggested two places where the member may want to follow up further on those things. Thank you. Okay.
Dr. Mambo, take us through the public entities. 15 minutes would be fine, so that you allow honorable members to ask questions. Julia, all what we do, we look at the budget that people give us. If somebody says, I'm going to spend so much in the first quarter, all on compensation of employees, for instance, we take it that all his or her ducks on the road. The information that you are saying is there, the pile of, those are the things that you factor in when you do your budgeting. So we're not coming up, we don't introduce anything. We look at the budget that was presented to us, and you also look at those deviations yourselves. So, for instance, how then do it if I knew that was I wouldn't have budgeted to spend that money in the first quarter if I knew that I still needed to go through that process. That's where we're coming from. So we hold people accountable to what they presented to us. Is it not so? We don't do it ourselves. So if those things are known upfront, let those things be factored in when people budget, so that we don't have these clearing divisions. That's all what we are saying. Can I then ask you, Madam Doctor, to take us through and say the 15 minutes would be fine. We had documents so that we could allow honorable members to also interact with the document.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think, honorable members, if you thought that the presentation on the national department was sad and depressing, well, it's going to get worse. Anyways, Chair, I'm just going to focus on the entities that we want to bring to the attention of the committee. So the first few slides, we presented those at the induction last week, so I won't go through them. But the first entity that we worried about as the National Treasury would be the National Empowerment Fund. And the reason why we worried about this entity is that it is dispersing more money but not getting back the repayments. So basically the entity is making losses. Now what we're trying to do is try to encourage them to make sure that they reduce their bad debt book, so that they can try to at least balance the revenue that they get and the funding that they disperse. So that is the first entity that we would like to put on the table. The second entity that was a bit of a problem, but is actually work that has been done to try and resolve the problem, will be the National Health Laboratory Services. So, honorable members, basically how this entity would receive funds if there is that, I am on slide 13. So in this, I combine mine. So in this slide 13, and basically here, the problem with the entity or the problem that the entity faced was that they needed to provide a service and then get paid by a province or get paid by the department. So most of the times there were delays in provinces paying the entity. So mostly it would be running deficits because it would be waiting for the payment. But the Department of Health has worked on a different model. So the model that they had before was fee for service, but now they're basically moving towards the model of each year we pay you this amount and you provide the services. So that will avoid the monthly going back and forth of invoices and making sure that they are not disputed. So we think with that model, at least the entity will be, or they will start at seeing some stability, and then they won't be forced to try and deal with invoices that are not paid. So I think the intervention by the Department of Health has worked quite well for the entity. Then the next entity that we would like the committee to look at with the nail would be the National Student Financial Aid Scheme. Basically, I think with the introduction of the fee-free higher education, the entity was overwhelmed with the number of students that were now in the system, and they had to improve on their systems to try and get the data and make sure that they allocate funding to the right students. So as a result, the minister asked for a person to come and just look at the entity, make sure that the entity is improved and is efficient. So the underspending of this entity is mainly due to them not paying the students, but this is because, to be fair on them, this is because their systems are still a bit slow. So they're working on the system. Once that is done, they're going to pay the funds. So that is the only issue, but they're not underfunded. So the fund is there. It's just that for them, they must fix and align the students to the amount correctly so that the problem that happened a year or so ago where they gave a student how much, 40 million? the university, but such problems are eliminated. So that's the National Student Financial Aid Scheme. Chairperson and honorable members, I think we've spoken a lot about PRASA and its issues, but we did put it in the presentation so that honorable members can see how much money they have left the entity. So basically what the chairperson and honorable members tasked us to do last week is to go and check with the Department of Transport to see if the bill, the Road Accident Fund bill, is going to be revived in Parliament or are they going to withdraw it. So after we had a meeting last week with the department, we were told and we are comfortable that they will proceed with the parliamentary processes and any changes or comments that they have on the bill, because remember, this is a new DG, those will be incorporated with the rest of the public comments. So the bill will be revived and it's not being taken away. So the bill, last week we said they might withdraw the bill, but after speaking to them, they're going to revive the bill and then the process is going to continue, so there won't be delays. So we're hoping that that is finalized soon and then we can have a different model for this. And SARS, this is a difficult one, honorable members, and I was hoping that my DG is here because he's a shop steward for SARS. remember that the DG SARS is his entity, so when I come here and I report about SARS, basically I am putting him under the bus, but anyways, I think I get paid to do that, to ruin his life. So with SARS, a couple of two or three years ago, we were looking at reducing budgets. Now SARS was one of those entities where they had large surpluses, so they were not spending the way they were supposed to. So we removed the surpluses in SARS, and we took the money and we basically reduced the budget deficit. Now, with the revamp of the SARS, with the new commissioner, last year we allocated about $3.5 billion over the MTF to try and give them enough funding to turn the entity around. Now, so far, SARS has recorded some underspending of about $200 million for the financial year 2018-19. So the money that we have allocated to them is still sufficient that they can do the turnaround. So what we're picking up here is that, yes, they want to basically look at the new infrastructure, they want to turn the entity around, but the money that they have in the system and what we allocated to them so far, it's been sufficient that they can run this mandate, and they're still recording some surplus or underspending. So we will be monitoring SARS and then looking at their requests and then seeing, given the underspending, you know, is it justifiable to give them this amount of money. But basically why we put it here is for honorable members to realize there was money that was allocated to SARS. So it's not that we didn't allocate anything. $3.5 billion over the MTF was allocated to the South African Revenue Services. Sandral, honorable members, the biggest question still remains with us, GFIP. We have done all we could as technocrats to advise, so now we're just waiting for an executive decision. But basically, Sandral is unable to service its debt because they can't go to the market because of the uncertainty around the Gauteng Freeway Improvement Project, and the lenders are reluctant to give them the funding. So basically what needs to happen, a decision and enforcement on the GFIP, well, the decision on GFIP has to take place, and then there must be some, that will bring some certainty on how the entity is supposed to generate funding. But until such time, then the problem will persist. So in the budget, honorable members, the central is divided into two businesses. You have a business of toll, where the funds come from the tolls. But this is not only Gauteng. This is all the toll roads, N1, N4, all of them. Then you have a portion of the non-toll where the budget is allocated from the fiscus. Now, we're trying to balance the usage of funds from the non-toll to the toll, but when we came for the appropriation bill, you will remember that we did say the worry of moving money from the non-toll to the toll to try and compensate for the GFIP is a problem for us. But until a decision is taken on GFIP, then Sandra is in serious financial trouble. And then Mark spoke a bit about the South African Social Security funds, but the two things just to note is that there has been savings ever since SASA is using SAPO, because the CPS, the previous contract, used to charge 16 rand per beneficiary and SAPO charges 13 rand per beneficiary. So that resulted in some savings for the entity. Chairperson, I think I did 15 minutes. And we just have one slide of additional information that Julia is going to take us through.
Thanks, Mambo. Thanks, Jay. I'm also in the budget office in the public finance statistics section today. So I'm a three-party person. The committee asked us some time back in the previous administration to have access to the source data, so not just with the tables that we bring. And so today I brought along, my colleague tells me there are 38,000 rows of data. That's quarter one. Quarter two, it will be double that. Quarter three will be three times, and quarter four will be four times that. So information down to very, very minute levels. So
so what you're interested in from the researcher's point of view. The reason it took so long is because it's millions and millions of transactions that we need to process and put in a way that you're able to access it. So we'll give you the quarterly download from what is called the Vulindlela database that is used for the quarterly expenditure for national departments. And so once we submit this to the committee, it becomes part of the public record, and it will be available in the public domain. So anybody that wants to look at something specific will be able to get it. It will be on the website. And so the data set, just to give you a sense of, it will be down to the posting level information as reflected in the chart of accounts. So just to give the committee a bit of an indication of some of the complications is, if you want to itemize some expenditure, then everybody that is spending on that item needs to understand that when you say you're spending on learner support materials, that everybody understands that what is that, and you'd be reflected under that. So that when you add it up, you're not getting other things consumed in there. So that is why we have a chart of accounts, so that everybody knows when they spend against that item, it is that item. I'll tell the committee an old story. Before we had the chart of accounts, we once had in the health department that they put spending on nappies under capital. Do you remember, Mark? And so you get a whole different view of things. So that's why this is also a bit more complicated. So we've mapped it, and we've mapped it to the program structure. So in the SIF book, they've used the estimates of national expenditure, and so you can cross-check in the book what you want to know, and the further detail will be in all the rows. So I think you asked, it was you that wanted the more information. So we hope this is not like the dog that caught the bus, Chair. now you got the data, we're putting some pressure on you. So the data, as we say, comes from the financial systems of the departments. So there may be discrepancies and questions that we can answer, but actually the only people that can answer that would be the individual departments. So we can do our best to help you, but actually only the people who put the data into the system will be able to tell you. So here it is, and I'm handing it over to Mampo to hand it to you, and in the full view of the chair, so that you can't say you didn't get it.
The only thing we can't verify what is in that disc. thank you so much, National Treasury. We have questions, comments from honorable members? One, two, three.
Thank you, Chair. I'd like to leave. I need to go to the Joint Standing Committee on Finance. Okay. Yeah. Very, very quickly, I wanted to know if you could give us some clarity onto how you work with the Department of Monitoring and Evaluation in terms of what you've identified, how you hand it over to them, what is the success, are they performing, are you getting cooperation from them in terms of them going down to go and monitor and evaluate in terms of that, because clearly there seems to be, from what I can see, a serious problem in terms of that. And the reason why I'm asking that, so that this structure can intervene if necessary, because otherwise we're not going anywhere. That's the first thing. The other thing is, are you able to give us any figures? Because I remember even last year, you reported that particularly with the social grants, for child support grants, that the amounts that were paid out was much lower than you projected as a result of that. Now that seems to be happening year in and year out. So I want to know, should we rather not, then I think our colleague here did allude to something in a similar nature, that we should rather them in anticipation that in light of the fact that for the last 2 years or 3 years there's a reduction in what we're projecting and what we're paying, should we not rather make that funds available somewhere else? You know, so that was the second thing. And I think you then need to just tell us, where do you think the real problem lies, all what we are seeing? My understanding is it is in the planning, and I think the chair is absolutely correct. They don't plan properly. In fact, I think all they're doing is this: if this year's budget is 1 billion, next year they make it 1.1 billion. They're not starting from the ground. They're not going and planning and from the ground. And as a result, you get the money, and you're sitting with the money, and you're not able to spend the money timely. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thanks for the opportunity and for the input. Just 2 points. The one is the four entities, namely the National Empowerment Fund, Student Aid Fund, Financial Aid Fund, SARS, and SANRAL. I want to suggest, it's not a question, that these are the four that we as a committee have to zoom into, as indicated by Treasury. Maybe we must put a day aside or two, just to zoom in on that. And then I just wanted to know the fact, now that we know that job creation is the big issue in the country, which entities here that we perhaps can look at? Because we have to also look at the entity that drives job creation in the country. We need to look at that. Thank you.
Chair, thank you. Just with regards to NSFAS, obviously we have the report but not the balance sheet. I'd like to get an idea of what the percentage loan repayment rate is to NSFAS, if it's financially sustainable, and how much of its historic debt is actually recoverable. Because I think that if we're not careful with NSFAS, we might collapse an entire system that's meant to be providing tertiary education, particularly for poor students.
Dr. Mam, can you go to the other slide? The table is the last bullet point. Cash available at the end of the quarter amounted to 18.2 billion rand, which is 188%, 11.9 billion rand more than expected. Now, the main thing that what I said when the DG was still here, that economically speaking, we need more money circulating in the economy. If you have got 11.9 billion rand, not being out there, plus that other 7 billion rand that we're talking about from the department, so we are now at 8 billion rand, and I'm sure you can find other billions lying there, which are supposed to create liquidity into the market, and then you know what follows after that. I'm not very sure whether we understand the implication, because it's very clear. The small businesses who are dependent on PRASA end up, not just businesses which are dependent on PRASA, which are closing shop, and therefore unemployment is going down and everything. This thing is not just about underspending. I'm picking up on this word because it's huge. 11 billion rand, I'm sure there are other departments. If you remember last time, an issue came up about the 4.5 billion rand that we're taking from PRASA to SANRAL. That was another issue. In the market, there's a man which should move from PRASA to DPSA and so on. So that all those issues, I also understand that you said you've got limitations. But I think, Honorable Joseph, I think these are things that perhaps we need to, whether we do it jointly with the Portfolio Committee on Transport and so on, that we need to get closer to them. They don't make sense, where you go out and borrow money and the other departments who need money, but at the same time we know that entity needs money because infrastructure is not what it's supposed to be, to say the least. So I'm just saying I'm more worried about the macroeconomic implications of such money is not being spent in terms of the businesses that are dependent on PRASA, in terms of employment, not just at PRASA, but on the companies that do provide services to PRASA and so on and so forth. So I think, honorable members, what we'll do, we'll get an opportunity
to identify those departments and get time, Darren, identify the entities, the departments that we are going to call here, and so that we can have some better understanding and explanation. For instance, when we call PRASA, I think they'll have to come with the Department of Transport so that they're both here, so that we understand exactly. And the main thing, how can we help? Because certain there are things which are not happening. 11 billion rand, let alone that there's this other money, we don't know that it's being efficiently spent. So we need to do that. I just wanted to throw that one in. Dr. Mampo, can you please respond to the issues that have been raised by honorable members?
On the National Student Financial Aid Scheme, Chair, remember this is the new bursary scheme. It is not a loan. It doesn't get paid back. So the entity will be as sustainable as government is sustainable in terms of that. The people that are paying back are the students who would have gotten funding under the old rules of the scheme where the 60-40 split would apply. If my memory serves me correctly, there was an issue around whether this loans are going to be treated in the same way as other loans, and the once the National Credit Regulator made a decision on that, the loans also prescribed. So if you haven't paid for X number of years, you're not in a position to pay. So the loan repayment was never intended to make the entity sustainable. It was to be able to fund additional students. So I think they get in roughly about 500 million a year. But as the bursary scheme, we're now in year two. So next year it will be in year three, year four. By the end of that period, the number of people left to pay will be less and less and less, so that the loan book will, repayments will get less and less and less, unless there's a policy change. But it's not, the entity is not intended, was not intended to fund its own operations. It gets a transfer from government.
Honourable Chairperson, just so on the CSG spending being lower, so I'm actually worried this is going in the opposite direction, because when we met with SASSA recently, they're projecting massive shortfalls in the outer year, and there's certain controls that seem to be loosening under SASSA, partly because they haven't fully taken on some of the functions after the exit of CPS. So one of them is biometrics. So previously all the people who came to get grants had their fingerprints taken for biometrics, and you could tell, is this a real child, or is it linked to, is it the same biometric? Now, after CPS left, some of the staff from SASSA went on strike and said, why must they do biometrics? And as we paid more to do biometrics. And even now, the biometrics is not fully reinstated. The second thing is, SASSA used to have a better way of checking what are called dormant accounts, which means that somebody has died or something like that. And that is not happening in the same way under the new system. The third thing is that SASSA is not implementing the means test thresholds according to the grants properly. So now SASSA is starting to project like 5, 6, 7 billion overspending by the outer year. Now, in previous years, we could bail them out. The fiscus was in a position to bail them out. Now there's not such a position, and I think it's not going to be unlikely that SASSA is actually going to come before SCOPA in the next year or two to say, now they're overspent, and they didn't get bailed out, and now they're overspent, and can the committee please authorize the overspending? But there's problems in their controls. So we are looking, at is there some potential savings in the short term, but in the longer term at the moment, we're worried about their controls. There are also certain policy questions that the new DM and even the DG of Women and various other people are asking. Given the fiscal climate, should we be looking differently at the child support grants? Some countries use conditionalities in those grants. Some countries have got family grants. So there are some policy questions which are being discussed as well. It's all tips on that, Chair.
Okay. So, Chairperson, I'll just deal with a few leftover questions. So the relationship between Treasury and DPME, we continuously work very hard to make sure there's a relationship. Because at the end, we need to account. So we politically correct way to respond, we're working very hard to have the relationship. I know that's not sufficient.
Hello. Just switch off yours. Mambo, the last time I checked, you were an official in department, not a, a politician.
Chairperson, I still need to pay the bills. Yeah. Anyways, in terms of where the problems lie, I think it's very clear. Planning is a problem, but more worrisome will be the implementation of the plans. So sometimes the plans are very good, but we take long to implement. So that is also the problem. And another one is that in government in general, I don't think ever since I joined in 2009, there was a DG who was dismissed for not paying suppliers within 30 days. And that is constituted as financial misconduct. So there's no consequence management. If there's no consequence management, it becomes very difficult to try and enforce the PSMA. So if you're asking me of the three critical things that are a problem in the presentation, those are the three that I can come up with. And then the entities that drive employment, so that's a very broad question, because you have the direct ones that give money to try and boost employment. That will be, for example, the National Empowerment Fund. So that empowers people, entrepreneurs, to start their businesses. But then you have the big ones where if they did what they're supposed to do, they would create significant changes in terms of the unemployment, and those would be the infrastructure implementing entities. That would be your PRASA, that would be your SANDA, because if you look at their budget, it's massive. So if they decide they're going to fix the metro rail in Cape Town, can you imagine the secondary effect that will have or in terms of employment? Firstly, for them to employ people to do this, but secondly, it will change the dynamics of the system. But then you get other entities that they provide skills and education to try and change the nature of our unemployment, and those would be the National Skills Fund, so that is one of them. But also you have South African Tourism, so their job is to make sure they enhance tourism or they promote tourism, and by doing that, and if we increase tourism, then you create employment indirectly. So most of these entities do play a role, it's just a different type of role in creating the employment. Thanks, Chair.
I didn't get the correct response, Chair. We want to help this department, and we want to help ourselves, and we want to find solutions to the problems that exist. And so I just want... and the cameras are off, Chair.
if I were to decipher what she said, yes, they are working, but it's not at optimal level. So I think what she wants us to do is to try and help that process. When we have got DPME here, we should try and push them towards an optimal level of working together. But I think, Dr. Mambo, you may say exactly where are the problems so that we can focus on those problems if you can. We are very much aware that working on a process is a process in itself. But at the moment, where are the problems so that we can see whether we can focus on them?
Based on what we've just heard, with the crisis looming in social development, don't you think we should deal with the matter urgently by getting the department together with them before?
Agreed.
So, Chairperson, I think what we would need help with in terms of Department of DPME would be for them to be with us when we present our report, so that it is very clear that there is follow the money, but also there's the output, because that's the link that we think the committee needs. The rest of the politics will deal with.
Right?
I move that the committee invites them to be part of the presentation in future. That will help us.
Darren, so whenever National Treasury comes for their reports, they must come with a DPME. Honourable Sarukhan?
Chair, just a request. If in the second quarter reports, could we also get an outline of how infrastructure spend is going across government as well? Because I think it would be good to hone in on that during the next quarter. It's just a humble request, Chair.
Can that be done? Did you hear what Honourable Sarukhan was saying? Talk to your mic.
Chair, we can provide the national infrastructure.
My question to the person was whether Treasury knows of whether that committee that used to track infrastructure still exists, that was driven by Minister Patel, the PICC, just that. Because it would also help with this.
It's moving to public works. So it does still exist.
Okay. So we'll get that report, whatever we get, whether it's public works or whatever, as long as it is within government, would like that to come. Honourable members,
this to you, Chair. I think the other two entities that you that we had serious challenges with was the IDT and the NYDA, and you're not giving us any report. If you could please bring us that, because we need to interrogate. Remember the high unemployment among the youth, and we want to know what is going on there. Thank you.
Honourable members, I think what you must also just do, even. We must get time in future. We must just sit down so that we identify these departments and entities that we must call and start seeing where exactly you put them in our program. I think that will definitely help us. I think this brings us to the end of this session. What's going to happen after lunch at 2? We'll have presentations by PBO. That's all what we'll be having. But let me take this opportunity to thank Dr. Mampotla team for the engagement, and that we're definitely wiser after the interaction. And always remember, Mark, when we say whenever we come here, and we mean it in every word that we are saying, that we see ourselves as a team. And we'll ask difficult questions, and if there are difficult answers, please give us difficult answers. Where you can't answer, say, that's what we are going to do. We propose 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. As things stand, you are our conduit to the department. Yeah, we can call any other department, but you are the principal department that we interact with. But thank you very much. Let's adjourn until 2 o'clock. Thank you.